2 Kings chapter number 6, please, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 6 says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put it in his hand and took it." One of the strangest events recorded in the life of one of the great prophets, Elisha. The story of an axe head swimming. Never saw an axe head swim. Tried to use an axe head a little bit, but I'm not a country boy at heart. I love country. I love living in the country. I love country boys. I pastor a good number of them down there. But to be able to chop wood, I remember when I first moved to Alabama and they put me in the former pastor's parsonage. It was heated by wood, and I said, "I am in trouble." And I said, "I hope they've got some deacons." Didn't have any deacons. I needed them to get me some wood. I'm new generation. I like a thermostat on the wall. When I was growing up, served an apprenticeship and as a heat and industrial engineer as far as putting central heating in people's homes, the old radiator and the water and the pump and all that. But cutting wood, these old boys are involved in an interesting undertaking. When you start thinking about something iron swimming, it's not something you see every day, but yet we live in a world where we see our iron floating all the time. We live there in Alabama, in the Black Warrior River, and the barges come through there all the time, loaded down with coal, probably headed to Huntsville or somewhere. And so oftentimes, when you go to the airport, you see them big old planes, the 747s. I don't know how they get off the ground, but because of someone's engineering ability, they have the ability to take off, supernaturally, I would say, without a doubt. And so too can we see iron swim supernaturally. Iron in the picture here, of course, is a picture of symbolic of an edge. It's symbolic of having just a little sharpness to you, being on your game, being able to make a difference, being able to influence what you're trying to do. Thank God they brought the preacher along, because he asked the question, where fell it? And boy, we understand so many times there's a lot of things that are in decline. And they're falling, and people want to know the answer. What's the problem? What's wrong with the home? What's wrong with the pulpit? What's wrong with the family? What's wrong with the country? Where did it all lose its way? Oh, I tell you, have you ever asked somebody that lost something, where'd you lose it? Well, that seems like a dumb question, because if they knew where they lost it, they wouldn't be asking you to help them find it. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ preaches a great message in the Gospel of Luke about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And he institutes a principle of search and rescue. And boy, I tell you, people need to understand there's a lot of things that have lost their way, fallen off their place. Spiritual application, of course, is the axe head is symbolic of a touch of God in your life. It's symbolic of a prayer life. It's symbolic of an influence in the home. It's symbolic of the ability to be able to witness to the lost. You see this picture here about how so many people, I would say, if there's something wrong, if there is something wrong, it's not hard to see it. I would say there's the edge is gone. No longer be able to see the influence that the power of the gospel has had in the past. When you think about what's happening here, the principle is a great principle. In chapter 6, verse 1, we see an exciting thought in the ministry of Elisha. The next generation of leaders have stepped to the plate and they've communicated to the old preacher a desire to grow. A preacher probably could have, had a heart attack and said, really? Wow, I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, you start thinking about an enlargement of ministry being instituted by the next generation. If there's ever a need in 2020, we need a new generation of young people that'll step to the plate and realize that they need an axe head to do some work, to accomplish something for God. And so Elisha here, he's got to be excited. When he recovers from shock, maybe, but he catches his breath and he makes sure that they're talking to him. Amen. Are you sure you're talking about spiritual growth? Nowadays, everything's engaged around the physical and the carnal and so many things. More people are interested in their new phone, or they're interested in more gigs, or whatever the case may be. They're brilliant at doing a lot of things, but having an edge, having a touch, having a bit of sharpness to them. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And you think about this principle here. These young converts request permission from God's man to engage in a building program. Now we understand we're in the greatest building program in all the world. God's interested in building a church. And He loves young people to realize that He wants them to be engaged. Amen. And old preachers say, wow, glory, yeah, come on, let's get after it. It thrills the soul of the old man of God. And the reasons, their request was not to keep up with the Joneses. They weren't trying to play, you know, better than somebody else. They present the ministry in order to be able to have... The ministry they were in had reached its capacity. Not a lot of churches are saying that. Most folks are just trying to hold their own. Sad for sure. We would to God that there was a burden in these last days for an increase. But by faith, these young people anticipated growth. By the way, if there's ever going to be growth, it's going to come through faith. Amen, without a shadow of a doubt. They had a vision for the future to rise up and build, like Nehemiah said. And notice in the content in verse number 2, their request was accompanied by prayer. Boy, what a big deal that is. Let us go, we pray. Boy, if you can get young people to have a prayer life, woohoo! Man, that's uptown right there. They'll have a cutting edge to it. There'll be something about them. There's no doubt about that. And their plan was to engage every disciple in the work. It wasn't just for the chosen few. It wasn't just for the super talented, those that are blessed with good gifts. It was let us, everybody should be engaged in this work. Thank God the church is a body, and sometimes the feeble are more necessary, and they help keep us grounded. Amen. When you think about it, their attitude was not selfish. Let us, where we may dwell, and it met with the approval of the preacher. Preacher was on board. Boy, what a blessing. Amen. Didn't have to have 10 meetings. Didn't have to, you know, tell people when he's not on board. He said, I'll pray about it. That usually means no. Amen. But this was a no-brainer. This was birthed in prayer, burdened to increase godliness. It was clear and obvious that God was in it. And the humility of Elijah was an example of a great servant of the Lord. He accepts their invitation to accompany his apprentices. Oh, that's a big deal, church. It's a big deal when young people have the opportunity to hang around seasoned leaders. And they are not too big for their britches, where they can't have a little time for young apprentices. Amen. Big deal right there. And so you see the principle here. The preacher's not too busy. He's not too proud to share the burden of the building of the work of God. And no doubt his presence encouraged those young preachers. Imagine coming to church every time you came to church and there's no preacher. Imagine being around and there's no leader. They say, well, we'll figure it out. No, God's presence is necessary, and He manifests itself through leadership. And thank God for the presence of Elisha here. And for sure, his participation blessed them. They were tickled. The old preacher was there. Now, he may not have been swinging the axe. He knew how to do it. He's done it, I'm sure. He knows how to cut. He knew how to get the job done. But his wisdom and experience was essential in trying to get the work started and hopefully finishing the task. Which brings us to the principle that I'm trying to address this afternoon as best I can with you folks all, you know, just as wake as can be. Amen. Fired up for sure. Can't wait to get to home to get a nap. Amen. But you start thinking about engaging in a work for God. If you've ever been involved in engaging in anything that God's in, oh, it's like Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong, well, you know how that goes? I don't know why the Irish get all the blame, but they're pretty good at it. I mean, it's just an amazing principle here. And if you ever engage in God's work, which it's not like manual work, it's sacred and they're secular. And both are important, don't get me wrong. Sacred can make secular altogether better. But when you experience doing something for God, there's going to be times when you're going to lose your sharpness. You're going to lose your axe head. It's interesting when you review. I remember back in, we finished a building program. It took us 7 years to get a building program finished in our church. We finished it in 2004. It took us 7 years. We took one offering up a month for 7 years. It got a little taxing at times because there was times the building just sat there because there was no money. And they'd come to me and say, "Preacher, when are we going to get this thing going?" I said, "When you give me some money." They said, "Will you go to the bank?" I said, "Not this time. You know, other leaders may need to do that." We were blessed. We had a facility that worked while we were doing what we were doing. But it sure can get taxing when you get involved in God's work. It's easy to lose your edge. It's easy to not be as focused. You think about the church at Ephesus. 100 years hadn't passed since Christ was gone to heaven, and they were hardworking. In Revelation chapter 2, they were patient. They were fundamental. They were separated. They labored in His name's sake. They had not fainted. Yet the Lord said He had just somewhat against them. They'd lost their axe head. It was just hitting a blank wall. They were just beating their head against a wall. You ever feel like you're just beating your head against a wall? I do believe you can relate to that. These young students of faith engaged in spiritual work, and it can be very taxing. It's a different exhaustion for sure. Hard to keep the main thing the main theme. And it's easy to get distracted on so many things. It's easy to become, as the scriptures say, weary and well-doing. It's easy to run out of gas. As a result of not having an axe head, progress ceases. And so many things are involved when it comes to losing your axe head. I was thinking about this mysterious story in the Bible about Elisha the prophet regarding this building program coming to a halt. I feel like so many things in 2020 have come to a halt. And people are, what is the deal? How come there's not the emphasis? How come, you know, what is the problem? It's kind of like what I think, and sometime this year, it's like when you're working away and all of a sudden the axe head goes, whoo, there it goes. It flew off the handle. And you start thinking about the consequences of losing your axe head. It's an interesting principle. And there's some things that can happen when you fly off the handle. Have you ever flew off the handle? Has your axe head ever went, whoo? It went south. I mean, you think about this principle, it's easy to see it. What happens when your axe head flies off the handle? I mean, you think about it for a few moments. We're not all wired the same way. It'd be nice if everybody was cool. Some of you don't even know what cool is. I'm not cool, but I like cool. Amen. I grew up and back in the old country when I came to the United States, you know, first thing I saw on the TV was Huggy Bear. Amen. He was with a couple of cops on TV and he was cool. Amen. But I'm not cool. But when you see somebody, nothing bothers them. I'm sure your pastor, some folks just doesn't, not many folks in here is. I don't know. Does it not bother you? You're just cool, calm. Nothing seems to get on your nerves except the preacher. Amen. But what is it that upsets you? I mean, if you're always cool, calm, and collected, this message is not for you. Because you're the biggest hypocrite in the building. Amen. But Bob Jones Sr., that old preacher, used to say, the test of a man's character is, what does it take to make you mad? And boy, if you don't have a little Irish in you every once in a while, you need to come to Alabama. Amen. That young gal, she's going to get all right. She'd be all right in Alabama. Amen. What a blessing. But you think about all that's involved with... some of you came to church this morning and, and maybe even horn cussed somebody and flew off the handle before you even got here. Maybe you did that in the house because the wife wasn't ready to leave and get in church. And none of you ever do that up here, but we do that in Tuscaloosa. I do that every once in a while. God forgive me. I'm preaching to me. Have you ever lost your edge when it comes to your kids and your fuse is about that short and you've just flown off the handle? You ever done that? Boy, it's gotten quiet now, I'm telling you. Where's all the amens now? Get them singers back up here, amen. I mean, when you ever been so disgusted with life that you could spit nails? And you think about this old world. We're still in a war, 19 years, I hope and pray. I've been praying for our president, our Secretary of Defense, that he'd be able to get Afghanistan gone, amen. 19 years is enough, don't you think? I remember an old boy was drafted during World War II, and he went to his recruiting officer, and he says, before I go off to boot camp, he says, and go to war, he says, I need to go home and have some time with my wife. And he said, why do you need to see your wife? He says, she's the only person in this world make me mad enough to want to kill somebody. Amen. And so I know none of you folks do stuff like that, but, you know, when you fly off the handle, this old boy, they're in a business in God's work. And by the way, at church, sometimes things fly off the handle. Oh, that's why we need revival. When you fly off the handle, do you know what happens? You sever relationships. Things are not as good as they should be. It gets quiet at the house. I mean, your mother has to ask you to pass the toast when he's in between you. The husband's there. I mean, homes, it's easy to happen. I mean, it's just a difficult life in which everything is so short-fused. People nowadays, just slightest little thing and boy, they're on you. They expect the preacher to come in and just act like your pastor does, just so smooth and suave and deboner. Just kicking on your preacher a little bit. But you think about churches. Churches can result in discord when folks fly off the handle. Get upset. I tell you, even have splits because people fly off the handle. Get mad because they're not doing it the way he did it or the way they should do it. You ever get on work and you get upset because of working conditions? Maybe you fellowship with the Lord. Maybe things aren't good because you don't like God's lot in life for you. And you get a little edgy with God. It's just easy to sever relationships and just nervous wreck waiting to happen. When you fly off the handle, you lose control over decisions you're going to make. Sometimes you're rash. Sometimes you're not as sharp as you should be. Sometimes you do dumb things. You think about the first family in the Bible. Adam and Eve, and they had them boys. And you know what happened? Cain flew off the handle and got mad because God blessed, smiled, was kind, accepted. You know, you ever get mad at God's people because God seems to smile on them? Or you don't know the circumstance. I'm just saying it's easy to lose control of circumstances. It really is. It's a mess for sure. When you fly off the handle, it causes you to fail in the course of action that you want to accomplish. These young men had lost the power source to knock the trees down to build the new work that they had a burden to do. They got distracted. They got sidetracked. And the old man was there. Thank God. He was seasoned. Thank God for your pastor seasoned. He's not... doesn't have all the answers, but when you come to church, he's seasoned. We're not panicking. We're not overwhelmed with fret regarding this difficult time in which we've never been in before. And he asks you to try to have patience and look to the Lord and not believe everything that you hear that kind of puts you in a tailspin, gets you all messed up. Oh, I tell you, fly off the handle. It'll cause you to fail in the cause. The greatest cause in all the world is doing a work for God, serving God, the cause of Christ. That's the true treasure for sure. Oh, I tell you, that iron in the water now is no longer profitable. It's manifesting rust. Oh, boy, how are you ever going to get it back on? How are you ever going to find it? Some folks, I mean, you just wonder where they're at. Where'd they go? What happened? And they're not anxious about the Lord, missing church. They're not anxious about serving, not anxious about revival. That axe head it's been contaminated. And unless supernatural help helps us retrieve that edge, we're just going to end up flying off the handle. And there's other things that happen to us. We'll not fulfill our purpose of chopping down some souls or doing some work or whatever God has in line for us. You know, you think about the preacher's job. The preacher's job is to sharpen your pencil. Amen. Some people don't even know what a pencil is. I mean, really, everything's all computers. They don't teach cursive in a lot of these schools nowadays. And to write a letter, they would just... I remember a few years we had a young man writing on the CDs, and I couldn't read what he was writing. He just needed some help. But boy, you start thinking about this principle about losing your axe head. There's a few thoughts this afternoon that I'd like to, by God's help, to encourage you or try to inform you in regards to some principles that take place when you lose your axe head. First of all, the first thing that comes to your mind is you want to quit the work. You want to quit the work? Say, I wouldn't quit the work. Well, I don't know if you ain't got no God on you. If you ain't interested in God being on you. If you don't have an edge. If the Bible's not important. If prayer's lost its way. If church is not a big deal. You know what? There's a desire. Some folks get out. And we understand. I'll tell you, churches nowadays are shutting down. I don't understand it all. The church I got saved in 1979, the Akron Baptist Temple, there was 5,000 to 6,000 on a Sunday morning, 30, 40 buses out there. The building's for sale today. For sale. Great old soul-winning building. I pastor in Tuscaloosa, and around the corner from me, there was a church that was started in the early 80s, and it was thriving. They had up to 1,000 people. They bulldozed it about a year and a half ago. They bulldozed it. And this was an independent Baptist church at one time. It did join up and become a Southern Baptist church and was no longer independent. But boy, I'm telling you, it's easy. Folks, why do Christians quit serving God? Now, I didn't come to the meeting to say, people are quitting. But I'm here to tell you, if you don't have something that helps you get a little sharpness to you, boy, you know what I love about the military? All our military for sharp. We're great for sharp. But my boy was in the Marine Corps. I remember going down to Parris Island. And I'm telling you what, when he came up and he stood in that crowd, there was about 30 his company. You couldn't tell one from another. And it was just sharp, sharp. You know, you like to see somebody dressed sharp. You know, I'm a slob and I do my job. Amen. I mean, some folks don't give a rip. They don't care anything. But wouldn't it be a blessing to be sharp for God? I mean, don't you think? I know. We're living in a day and time where Scooby-Doo works really good for a lot of folks. You know, and Shaggy, my name's Shaggy. I understand some folks think that's cool, but I don't. You think about these young people, they had an old preacher that knew what it was like to have that touch of God on his life, and I promise you they all wanted it. I remember back in the day when I was in Bible school, it was 38 years ago when Brother Roloff passed away, that great old saint of God. And I'd just been saved a little while. I just really wasn't very strong in the Lord, just growing in the Lord. And I remember a couple of old preachers coming by and saying, boy, I wonder who's going to get his mantle. I didn't even know what a mantle was. But I learned about it, though, and I remember asking God. I said, boy, I don't know that I could handle his mantle because it was chosen by God. What a unique ministry. But God's got a mantle for each of us. He does. And boy, God knows what we all need. Often there's sometimes no prayer life, no touch of God, no trip to the altar, not reading your Bible. Boy, that can cause you to lose your edge. That can cause you to want to maybe just get defeated and die a little bit. You ever see some folks in church that just seem like they just lost that seal? They don't even look at the hymn book. They don't open the Bible. When the preachers, you say, who's that happening to? It could happen to you if you're not careful. It really could. And for these old folks, that the law of the harvest, it's easy when you sow to the flesh. You're going to run out of gas. There's just no way around that. And the biblical prophetic warning regarding these latter days is that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. Lose their edge, lose their soul winning, lose their faithfulness, lose their burden for their family. Lose their burden for the rapture, the return of Christ. This departure from the faith can result in an embrace. Of course, the cult is busy for sure promoting demonic doctrines that, of course, that are causing God's people to live in fear, and they're no longer engaged in worship, and that's not a good thing. This has been a difficult time in the history of the church these past 6 months, where many are home, some are watching the broadcast, and we understand the mindset, but we still miss those not being here because it has an effect on them. It does. They need God's man to sharpen them a little bit. Amen. This Bible's quick and powerful and sharp. And boy, it's a terrible thing when the Bible loses its sharpness. Kind of like the old boy that said, you know, the old boy fought a good fight, but his razor was dull. You know, that's not good, is it? Or using the new Bibles is like trying to shave with a banana. It doesn't cut nobody, you know. It just kind of fluff or snowflake or whatever you want to call it. And that's what that kind of Christianity is. It's non-offensive. It's non-militant in the spiritual warfare. So, boy, I tell you, sad thought. I don't want anybody. I don't want to quit. You want to quit? Well, if that access is gone, you're going to have to do some work to get it back. You know what a lot of people do when they lose their axe head? They fake it. They fake it. They keep swinging and hope nobody notices the axe head's gone. Now, I know nobody here at this church does that. We have a few at Tuscaloosa. Every once in a while, the preacher does it. Been guilty at times in my Christian life, just going through the motions. Word to God that it was always on track. But I'm telling you, you think about all that's involved with losing your walk with God. You capable of losing your walk with God, folks? How long does it take to lose your walk with God? Lose that edge, lose that burden, lose that vision. I tell you, it's an amazing thing. Once you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, it just takes a day or two. Before you know it, you've lost that edge. Oh, and then you start faking it and you start talking like a Laodicean Christian when you're neither hot nor cold. And boy, who hasn't been guilty of doing that? And it's all a result of being engaged in the work, but for some time or another, you lost that first love and you've no longer an edge. I can't imagine trying to swing an oak handle on that doesn't have an axe on the end of it and trying to boing, you know, just blunt. And it hurts. It's not swift. It's just kind of, and when you've got that axe head on there and you just, boom, and just chops. And you go, oh man, that's how God does it. But boy, it's terrible when that's not happening. So easy for that not to happen. And we see it many times in people's lives. Playing church. That's why Sweet Springs is having its 62nd anniversary. It's not interested in just playing church. It's interested in being in church and being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'm convinced as we see manifest what's happening in 2020, it's going to bear some fruit. I don't think it's going to be bragging rights either. I really don't. But when you think about what's happening, it's very prevalent in the ministry. The consequences of the workload, and it's not poor, preacher. I'm not talking about that. That's why Paul admonished young Timothy, his young apprentice. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. He didn't tell Paul, only do it when it feels good. Only go when you're hot. Only go when they're shouting. Only go when it's shouting time. And there's a big crowd. But one of the things you've got to learn as a young preacher is, a lot of times you'll go and there's no crowd. Oh, this didn't just happen. Amen. Pastor Logan didn't just get off the bus. I mean, this 30, 40 years in the ministry to get to this place and take this ministry. And there's a lot of great young kids here looking to ask God to help them. I tell you, you think about the influence and the importance of the office. C.H. Spurgeon he has a title in his book called Fainting Fits. And if there was ever a greater preacher that helped, dealt with a difficult time in England and all the problems of London. We all think about his Metropolitan Tabernacle being packed every time. People had to get tickets to come to church in order to get in because it was such a demand to hear him. Imagine pastor saying, all right, you got to get a ticket to be here tomorrow night. That's a different idea. Hey, amen. I don't know if that'd work or not. I look forward to hearing how that works out. But in other words, what I'm trying to say is because of fainting fits and the occupational hazard of doing spiritual work, it's not a pleasant subject, but it's called rainy days and Mondays always get me down. It's called the blues, I'm telling you. You get to feel, and you get a and it's a terrible thing if you come to a meeting and the preacher's just, it's a mess. Who wants to hear that? That's a bunch of foolishness. Send them to the house. Shut the meeting down. Go to Hardee's or something. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you think about the difficulties, it occurs not only in the pulpit, but it occurs in the pews. God's people can play church. And there's some things that can happen to you. No walk with God. You think about it's bad now. I don't think it's bad now. I think it's going to get bad. I think America is going to experience the exception to the rule of the past 200 years, and they're going to be put to the test. We're going to be interesting to see if we have any kind of Bible in us. It'll be interesting to see. It really will. I tell you, when you don't have that edge in your life, where you're zealous and you're excited about the things of God, and you're too proud to admit that you're backslidden. Oh, man. It's a sad thought for sure. You lost your prayer life, your Bible reading. I mean, you should be reading your Bible through this year. I know this is the Bible-believing church. And I know you've all got your prayer list that you pray every day. And I know you where you're supposed, if you can just read your Bible through every year. And I know your pastor. I'm trying to straighten no pictures. But I know you're all on track right now and you're all in your Bible, aren't you? All reading your Bible every day, every week. I mean, I just spiritual. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual bunch. But carrying tracks like you're supposed to. And I'm sure you're all just loaded up with a gospel track. So when you meet somebody that's lost, you're saying, hey, let me tell you something. I know you know to do that. I know you have done that. And I know you desire to do that. But there are times you don't do it because you've lost that edge. You're just going through the motions. And this will... These old boys, they'd lost their edge. The joy was gone, that burden for souls. And the only obvious answer to this Bible message tonight is you need to be honest. And that's a rare commodity in the church today. Now, I know you can confess it to God, and that's who you should call. Like the brothers playing the guitar up here talking about 1 John 1:9. Amen. What a great verse it is. You think about... The book of Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, he that covereth the sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. How we need mercy. Don't we need mercy? Well, we've got nothing to brag about. I was going through the book of Matthew in our Wednesday night Bible study, and I came to the Sermon on the Mount, and the first words out of the Lord Jesus Christ's mouth in the Sermon on the Mount are blessed. That's the first words from the lips of the Lord in the message, and I understand where the message is for. But he said, blessed is the poor in spirit. Whew. Israel was down, boy, dragging bottom. And they needed a word from the Lord. What a blessing it is for God to give you a word. And you think about all that's taken place in this principle here is, if we would be acknowledge, say, Lord, I tell you, I'm not where I'd like to be, and I'm not where I want to be. I need an edge. I need some sharpness to me about the things of God. I need to be on plate. I need to be on my game. I need to man up. I don't need the snowflake. Amen. That's or fluff. Or put on the dog. Be, you know, one of the most important things in this world. You know what they need? They need to see somebody that's real. Amen. God's looking for some. You know, God's always real. He never puts on the dog. You know, if you can't be honest, when that axe head is gone. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I don't, that's not even in the subject. We're not talking about losing your salvation. But when your axe head's gone, you can lose your joy. Oh, that's a sad thing for an individual. You can lose your prayer life. You can lose your Bible reading. You can lose your testimony. You can lose your health. You can lose your family. You can lose your job. You can lose your finances. I'm convinced we're losing a lot of our freedom. Oh, we're in a bad state for sure. And you think about what's taking place. All of these qualities are the source of our power with God. Amen. It's not that, man, I take care of my family. Man, I'm the hard worker in our house. Yeah, by the grace of God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You get to A to B by the grace of God. You get from Alabama to Texas by the grace of God. These roads are a mess. This world's upside down. This is just absolutely a mess. And of all these qualities, they're the source of our power with God. And all I'm saying is, if anything a preacher needs, is he needs that touch when he comes to the sacred desk. Oh, I know how quick you are in saying, oh, he wasn't too hot today. Huh? Probably not. How you're praying for the pulpit? Are you praying for the preacher? Are you praying for God to help him have a word? Help him be on game? Be on target? Aim right? Well, that's what we like, don't we? But when he's not on, or he's maybe tired, you don't know, his health may not be good. Maybe he's had a... You know, boy, what's wrong with the preacher? What's wrong with you? Anyhow, I'm not trying to get on you tonight a little bit. You're all pretty tired looking anyhow. But when you start need to pay attention a little bit to how firmly that access attached to that handle. Is it wobbly? Hadn't come off yet. Maybe yours is still on there, but it's liable to hurt somebody. You know, I was doing some work at the house here a little while back, and we were knocking up some tile, some ceramic tile, been down about 20 years, and the wife wanted it fixed. And I have an old handle, an old 2-pound hammer, and it had a handle, and I just kept knocking the handle on with the hammer and boom, booming it down. And I was in there trying to do this, and that 2-pound hammer come whoop, boom, boom, right on my cotton picking. I needed it. You talk about an idiot, that's me, amen. You can't fix stupid, that's the truth. Got to make sure. I had to go and get a new one, new hammer. And I'm telling you, folks, when you drop your guard, do you ever drop your guard? Yeah. Do you ever drop your shield of faith? You put that on every day. I guarantee you the law of the harvest will result in you becoming a victim. People say, where's Brother So-and-so? What happened to that preacher? What happened to that singer? What happened to that church? Well, they just lost their edge for the gospel. They just lost their burden for the soul. Do you think all this money comes in because these are nice folks and you just have plenty of money to give to missions? No, that comes because somebody has an edge, a burden, a desire to spread the gospel with power. Amen. And you know I'm telling you the truth. But boy, that casualty, that powerless saint. That's why we need revival, folks. If there's anything we need this week, we need some help with our edge. Sharp for God. Eh? Wouldn't it be a blessing somebody get around you and old Noah living in a mess, and the only thing they could say about him was, Noah walked with God. Yeah. Oh, I know this world's a mess. I know it's upside down. It's unrecognizable. And your job's not the same. And these kids in high school or wherever it's not the same. But a walk with God, what a difference that can make. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, church. Well, that egghead can be lost unexpectedly. And sometimes you can lose it in the most unexpected place. Remember when Jesus was 12, the only time recorded in his life from the birth to 12 and then to 30, all of a sudden they're down at the temple and the most unexpected people in the world lost the Lord. Right. How can you lose the Lord? You can't lose the Lord, but as parents, that was their worst dilemma. And that's an amazing thing, how they had to retrace their steps back to find out where they lost him. And that's part of the problem. You start thinking about Samson. He wist not that the power was gone. Boy, I tell you, he tried to just, I'll get him as I did at other times. And there was no juice. The gas was empty. Oh, if there's ever a time in 2020 where God's people need their tank filled, it's tonight. It's tomorrow night, it's Tuesday night, it's Wednesday. I just want to encourage you to be under the spigot, be under the place where you can get some help, where you can get your, you can get a little sharp, restored for God. Amen. But you need to be honest. Now, if it's not gone, that's wonderful. If it's not gone, all I can say is, get it a little sharper. Amen. Get it under the, get old grinder, amen. Good old grinder preacher, and he just grind you down, get you a little sharp. You don't have to do as much work to get the job done. You ever try to cut a tree with a blunt axe? Oh, it's hard work. It'll get there, but I tell you what, you'll know you've been trying hard. And isn't it amazing when you got a little sharpness about you and it just cuts easy? It's like, cuts a little butter. Just, it's amazing how that works. Would you be honest with God tonight? How's your edge? Have you lost your edge? I hope you haven't. It'd be a blessing that you haven't. Old Demas forsook the Apostle Paul, having loved this present evil world. Oh, this old world's a toy, and we're God's people, toying with good folks, trying to get them disheartened. You think about the old principle. I've been hearing all kinds of foolishness lately. this principle of the flat earth, I don't know where they're at there, and then no repentance, right. And then mid-tribulation rapture. Right. No telling what they're coming up with next. I wonder why people are trying to abandon. Of course, this is a business of not repenting. It's not new, but it's resurfaced again. And I'm telling you, all through the Bible, when you're wrong, God doesn't have to apologize. We should be the first to say, God, I tell you what, I've been doing this wrong. I know better. Lord, you know how I'm, you know me, and I'm just absolutely, I would love to be engaged in building the work for God. I'd love to do what the old preacher did. I'm glad he's still around. And I'd love to be engaged in chopping down some souls for God. I'd love to be engaged in fighting against the enemy with a sword that's sharp. I'd like to be in a place where it's important to have that walk with God. And I need to ask you to forgive me. I need to repent. Oh, it'd be a blessing to see God's people really humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and say, it's my fault. My fault. If you've lost the edge, why blame Trump? Why blame Biden? You can't blame Biden. He's a poor man. But let me say this. That poor man has half of the voting population considering putting him in office. That's how bad the country is. And that's where we're at today. The country's lost its edge. Oh, what a mess. You know, you got to realize one thing about this principle of this axe head. They made a statement right in the middle of that subject. It says, it was only borrowed. Can I remind you tonight that if you ever get a touch with God, God gives it to you? It's borrowed on. I struggle with Rush. I know he's got cancer right now, and I try to ask our church to pray for him because he's a good voice in the conservative movement, I think. That doesn't help anybody and doesn't fit probably. But all I'm trying to say is he always says this sarcastically, on loan from God, drives me up the wall. You know what he does, that, doesn't he? And I'm sure he may mean that in his way. But you know what? Your touch, your burden, your zeal, your love is on loan from God. God gives it to you. Fruit of the Spirit is something God gives you. You're not special above anybody else. It's borrowed. It's borrowed. Boy, I tell you what. Thank God that He lets us borrow it. And that sharpness is available tonight. Amen. You can get... I know this world's dull. Dull. I mean, TV's dull. Sports, NFL, ugh. I mean, NBA, ooh, amen. I mean, last week they played basketball in Atlanta for $15 million for one tournament. Absolute nuts. And dry as cracker juice. Because there was no spectators. They're the ones that give it influence. And I bring that to your attention. That's what happens at church. You ever wonder sometimes why it's dull and dry in church? Because there's no influence, because the congregation's lost its edge. God help us there. Borrowed. Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Oh, I tell you, I'm not as impressed with me as you'd think. I don't think any of us have got anything to be too proud about. Yeah, we got a lot. We got a Savior that we should be bragging about. He deserves all the bragging rights. Amen, amen. Well, we need to remember where we got the axe head. He says right there that Elisha, thank God he was there, he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. In verse number 6 there. And boy, you know what the stick's a picture of? It's a picture of the cross. You remember the children of Israel come out of Israel, out of Egypt, and they came to the waters that were bitter, and God put a tree in the water and made it sweet. I'm just here to tell you, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. And thank God for an old rugged cross that makes a difference. Amen. Back to Calvary, what a difference that'll be. We need to remember where God found us and how God has blessed us for sure, church. And boy, that axe head's a picture of Calvary. And we need to retrieve the power back. Amen. We need to get the touch back. We need to get the edge back. We need to get the walk back. We need to get that season of prayer back, and that love for the book back, and that burden for souls back, and that blessing of being in church. We need that edge, don't we? Amen. Just you're just sitting on your edge of your chair, and the preacher says something. You go, yeah, yeah. Yep. Holy Ghost bumps you, and you go. Nah. I mean, that's what we need. We need to be in a place where we're waiting on bumping into God. Amen. We got that. You got that. I'm not talking about sensitive. You got to be careful using the word sensitive, because folks nowadays they get a little off base on that. But we need to get back to cutting down some wood in order to get the job done. I don't know anybody in here saying, well, I'm doing a pretty good job. Okay. You don't need revival, amen. Just go back there and eat, amen. I mean, get one of them ice cream bars. Get two of them. It'll help you, I'm telling you. But in order to come clean, wouldn't it be a blessing just to beg God? I think of the stewardship message I was preaching on last Sunday in Luke 16, that great message the Lord gave. He said, I heard some bad things about you. You need to give an account of your stewardship. Which is the Lord's going to do with all of us. And all the old boy you should have said was, yeah, you're right, Lord. I haven't been doing what I should. I kind of fumbled the ball a little bit. I'm kind of missing. You know, I'm striking out every time and all is involved there. And Lord, you're right. What you heard's right. But he didn't do that. He had an attitude. He says, now what am I going to do when the Lord fires me? Or when the Lord, you know, shows me what I've been doing is wrong and dismisses me? Could the Lord dismiss you today from being a steward? I believe he could. The old boy says, tell you what, I'm too lazy to dig and I'm too proud to beg. That was his problem. Too lazy to dig and too proud to beg. I'm here to tell you folks, what a privilege that God would let us do anything. I mean, you say, well, I'm above that, are you? Okay, you're really somebody. Elijah said, I'll get down with these guys and I'll help them, you know, birth a work. He may not have had the energy he once had, but he was still with them. He was on board. He was the one that helped them retrieve the axe. Oh, too lazy to dig and too proud to beg. Who in here? There isn't a preacher that's ever tried to preach doesn't know something about begging God to help them. Every time he comes to the sacred desk. And singers too, boy, I tell you, I need God. God, beg, help us bless the singing. Help it not to be entertaining. And help us not, we're not in the performance business. That's the problem I have with this broadcasting all over the place. We never did that. We're not very fancy folks down here where we're at. And I tell them all the time, I'm not Dan Rather. I don't say everything right. I'm not in the entertainment business. I'm not here to perform. I'm a preacher, and preachers go off reservation every once in a while and say dumb things. And everybody says, I can't believe he said that. You know what they're going to do to him? Yeah, I do, probably. Pray. I mean, God help us. We're in a mess. You know what we need? We need to get that axe head back on the handle. We need to get it sharpened, and we need to start cutting for God. Amen. God, by his help. Question is, where fell it? That's the message that most preachers, I've heard a few over the past 35 years, preach on where fell it in verse number 6. Where'd it fall? Where'd you lose it? All you got to do is talk to God a little bit. He'll tell you what's the problem. He'll tell you what's missing. He'll tell you where you're at. Right. I know where you're at. I know where I'm at. I'm just trying to keep an edge by the help of God. When you think about all that's involved there, I remember when I was just out of Bible school back in 1984, and I didn't have a lick of sense. I just had zeal and full of beans. And I remember the pastor asking me at Robert Rearson at the Victory Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. He said, come preach a revival. And we were there. I was preaching. And he said, we're going to go to Mobile, a preacher's fellowship. And I went over to Mobile, and there was a bunch of preachers. And I was just a young kid. I remember one big old lanky preacher. He must have looked like he was about 6'6". He's a big old guy, and he was dragging. He wasn't getting any meetings, and the offerings weren't coming in, and he was down in the mouth about the brethren. And he said, bless God, I don't need none of you, because my wife's got a job. That's what's the last thing he said. And I thought, oh, man. And the next one that got up to preach was Bobby Brendel, the shortest evangelist in all the world. And Bobby Brendel, he didn't do anything but just run up and down the aisle for about 5 minutes saying, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. I'll never forget that. That was the simplest message I ever heard in my life. Brethren, if there's anything needed in 2020, it's that same message. Don't quit. You've heard the song or the poem. You probably heard it before. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, fret if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won and he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow, you might succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never know, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit.